Well, as you know, we were due to have a baptism this morning, or baptisms, but I'm preaching today, this morning and evening in baptism, and I'll preach next Lord's Day morning in baptism, and I may preach in the evening in baptism. Because this is a subject that is really, really important. It revolves around one of the most incredible importance, the promises which God makes to us and to our children. It simply cannot be ignored. I'm not going to be preaching today as I ordinarily do on a particular specific passages of God's Word. I'm going to be drawing from God's Word, and I trust that you know me well enough that anything that I will say will come from an appropriate biblical context, and if you don't know me at all, then you can ask me afterwards and I will explain to you what I've said within that proper biblical context. I have five headings. We will not get through them all because of time and the opening statement this morning. But let me give them to you and then we will see how we get on. First, very simply, baptism is a sacrament. Secondly, baptism is not necessary for salvation. Thirdly, baptism, why is it important? Fourth, baptism, how should we speak of it? And baptism, who should be baptized? Baptism is a sacrament. Now, I want to be absolutely clear. The word sacrament is not a biblical word. Its etymology or its origin is derived indirectly from the ecclesiastical Latin, sacramentum, which is a composition of two Latin words, sacro, which means to hallow or consecrate, and the Latin word sacra, which means sacred or holy. So it's not a biblical word. It's a word, in fact, which can be traced back from the Latin to the Greek New Testament word mysterion. It was the church father Tertullian, the 3rd century Christian writer, who began using the word sacramentum in relation to baptism and the Lord's Supper because of the word mysterion in Scripture. And so, while it's not been enthusiastically used throughout the entirety of church history, particularly because of the Reformation, yet today it's a word that's commonly used to describe the two biblical ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. So I say that simply in case you've heard the word sacrament and you're saying, well, where is the word sacrament in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. It's a word that is used to describe in the church these two ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Secondly, baptism is not necessary for salvation. One of the principal differences between the Roman Catholic system and the Reformation Church is their understanding and emphasis upon the sacraments. And many of you grew up in the Roman Catholic system. You'll be aware of the sacraments in the Roman Catholic system. And you'll be aware that in terms of the Roman Catholic view of the sacrament of baptism, the Roman Catholic system has more sacraments than what we understand are biblical. But they believe that baptism leads to the actual regeneration of the child. If a child is baptized, then that child, if they are baptized, they are spiritually regenerate. Roman Catholic tradition says that the administration of baptism actually confers upon the child forgiveness of sins, their regeneration. Roman Catholicism teaches it's not possible for anyone to be saved unless they are baptized. And I quote the Trent Catechism. Infants, unless regenerated unto God through the grace of baptism, so there you have regeneration through baptism, whether their parents be Christian or infidel, are born to eternal misery and perdition. So the Roman Catholic system says that if you're a Christian and you have a child that's not baptized, then that child is born into eternal misery and perdition. Shocking. Disturbing. Not only in its unbiblicalness, but in terms of the philosophical and psychological implications for parents. That's why you have the teaching of limbus infantum, to which unbaptized children are sent according to Roman Catholic doctrine. and they're excluded from heaven, but in which they suffer no positive pain. We are not sacramentalists. We do not believe that the or observance of either baptism or the Lord's Supper are essential for salvation. You are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You must not have taken the Lord's Supper to prove that in order to be saved. And a child or an adult must not be baptized in order to be saved. It is not biblical. It is not true. That doesn't mean that we do not appreciate the sacraments and think they are important. We think they are incredibly important. But we must correctly understand what Scripture teaches upon these matters. We must be clear, unequivocal. There is truth that God gives, and we must not in any way get caught up in either social or cultural misunderstandings or religious understandings concerning what these truths are. Baptism is not necessary for salvation. Why then is baptism important? Well, I've identified three reasons in Scripture why baptism is important. First, baptism is initiated by the Lord Jesus Christ. As we shall see, the sacrament relating to God's covenant of grace in the Old Testament arises from the heart and mind of God and is manifest through what he told Abraham. But in terms of baptism, that is initiated in Jesus Christ. It also speaks of important things in our lives, and it is a means of grace. We observe the sacrament of baptism not because it's tradition. We observe the sacrament of baptism not because it's what this church has decided to do. We observe the sacrament of baptism because Jesus Christ instituted baptism as he did the Lord's Supper. Any idea that we are doing something that is based on traditionalism is wrong. And we must cease to think about it in that way. Again, we can be so infiltrated, indoctrinated by our culture and society, to think that what happens in the church is only because that particular church decides to do it in that particular way. We have to be clear. The only things that we should be doing in the Church of Jesus Christ are the things that we understand Jesus Christ to have established for us to do. It is him who builds his church. It is him who adds to his church. It is him who instructs his church. It is him who will judge the bride. It is him who owns the bride. And only he should determine what and when we should do, what we should do, when we should do it. The Westminster Larger Catechism puts it this way. A sacrament is a holy ordinance instituted by Christ in his church to signify, seal, and exhibit unto those that are present within the covenant of grace the benefits of his mediation, to strengthen and increase their faith, and all other graces to oblige them to obedience, to testify and cherish their loves, and communion with one another, and distinguish them from those that are without. It's a sign, it's a seal to those who are within the covenant of grace by which Christ mediates to us the benefits of knowing him. They are given to strengthen and then add to our faith. And all the graces associated with that, that will lead us to obey God. That will testify and grow our love for God and our love for one another. We need to understand the doctrines of grace and the sacraments that Christ has given to us, that we might be the Christians that he calls us to be. It's not about just going to church. It's about actually understanding who we are. What is our identity and how we are to live as believers in Jesus Christ? The Lord's Supper was instituted, as you know, the night in which the Lord Jesus was betrayed, and we participated and observed the sacrament of the Lord's Supper last Sabbath morning. The baptism Jesus instituted when he says in Matthew 28 that we are to go into all the world and baptize of all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just that because Jesus is baptized that we're to be baptized. That is the case. But he then instituted as a sacrament which we are to observe in the life of the church. This is really, really important because Jesus has told us to do it. And Jesus has told us to do it for a good reason. And if Jesus tells us to do something for a good reason, then we must understand why we're doing it and we must do it. The second reason why the observance of the sacrament is important, because it speaks of the most important things in our lives. Baptism is neither a trifling nor a peripheral issue in the church, because we're addressing the very heart of who we are in the sacrament of baptism. When Jesus gave baptism to his bride, he did so to signify the benefits of his life and work on earth to us, the church. So the sacrament of baptism is a sign to us of Jesus' life on earth and a seal to us of all the blessings that we have in Christ. So when we baptize a previously unbaptized adult, we're not just performing a ritual because we want family and friends to see that they've joined the church. When we baptize a covenant child, we're not simply there to name the child. We're not even there to name the child. It's not a legal requirement for a church to do. We're not there to provide an opportunity for people to gather together at an event. What we're saying with the pouring of water on an adult head or a child's head is that this is a sign and a seal of each and every benefit that comes to you through Jesus Christ. And those benefits are truly phenomenal. Truly phenomenal. Those benefits speak to us of who God is. And we receive those benefits. Cleansing from sin. What greater benefit can be pictured in anyone's life than cleansing from sin? And maybe you should think, but you've just said that we're saying that this communicates the benefit of Jesus to this adult and child. And we can understand if the adult has professed faith in Jesus Christ, then they've said that they're cleansed from sin in Jesus Christ. Therefore, the symbolic act of pouring water on them is symbolizing them. But what of a child? Child hasn't expressed any faith. The child doesn't even able to speak, probably. Well, we'll address that. We'll address the issue. Don't confuse the God-given institution of the sacrament of baptism and what God is doing in that with the person's response to that. What is being demonstrated in baptism is the cleansing from sin through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, next week or the week after, depending on circumstances, we will be communicating through the pouring of water in their head that God is saying that they, by faith, at some point in the future, will, by His grace, be cleansed from sin. That includes the receipt of righteousness by faith, because of Christ's perfect life and disobedience unto death. It also speaks of the forgiveness of sins. So baptism is not some insignificant little thing. It's talking of the most important thing that can happen in any human being's life. Cleansing from sin. It speaks of union with Christ through His death. Christ has given this sign, and that sign talks about the fact that this adult or this child, by grace, through the Father's will be in union with Christ. What greater thing could we observe in the life of any human being than for God to bestow the promise of union with Jesus Christ? It's extraordinary. It's amazing. You couldn't make it up, you know, if you tried. If you thought of some way of demonstrating the significance of God's relationship with us, if it hadn't been that Christ instituted it and the church wanted to do it, it would have gone through all sorts of paraphernalia to have done it. And yet in this simple act, this one simple act, there is this cleansing from sin symbolized, there is this union with Christ symbolized, and there is communion with sin symbolized. Communion with Christ and with each other. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe you're baptized many years ago, but you're still not right with Christ. Would you not seek Christ? Would you not seek to confess your sin today and by faith believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? That baptism that was wrought on your body maybe many years ago, that sign that was declared, would by the grace of God be revealed in all its wonderful glory. But there's more. There's a seal. Because it's not just symbolized. There's a seal. There's a seal which says in baptism that this manifestation of love for God symbolized that leads to the cleansing from sin and forgiveness from sin and righteousness by faith and union with Christ, communion with God in the person of Christ. It's not just that it's symbolized, it's sealed. So that when the point comes that by grace the individual comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they are then sealed into that relationship for all eternity. So it's saying that here is what will happen when this person, by God's grace, comes to faith in relation to their sin, in relation to faith, in relation to the relationship with Jesus, in relation to the relationship with other Christians. And then there's a manifestation of the fact that that's guaranteed. It's sealed. Baptism is actually a sign that seals that. Which brings us to the third blessing of baptism. And the fact that it's an ordinary, one of the ordinary means of grace. Now, when we talk about the means of grace, what do we mean? Well, it means what it says. They are the means by which God mediates His grace to men. It identifies those means which God provides for people by which they may receive grace through the supernatural work of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, they're not intended, nor do they include every means which God uses to communicate His grace to those whom He loves. But they are the ordinary means. So we're not saying that only God only uses the means of grace, the sacraments and His word to mediate His grace. He can save men and women through other means. But these are the principal, ordinary means that God uses. Not ordinary in the sense that they are run-of-the-mill, but ordinary in the sense that they are ones that God will typically and normally use. And one very important point to take note of is that whilst the Word of God, as the principal means of grace, can exist on its own and can in a very complete sense, mediate God's grace to us. The sacraments cannot. So when the Word of God is read, preached to you in your hearing, God speaks through that Word. It's a living Word. It's a Word with a two-edged sword. And when that Word is declared, that Word comes with the power of the Holy Spirit, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1. And that Word comes to the dividing of the soul. It cuts to the marrow of the being of the person. And it brings life. And it brings not only life, but it brings sanctifying, cleansing power into the person's life. And that happens by Jesus Christ speaking to us through His Word. That's why it is good for you this morning, if you're here. That's why it's good for you, even if you've been baptized but not come to faith in Jesus Christ, that you keep coming to hear the Word of God. Because in the Word of God, you're hearing the truth of God to your soul. Now, it may be that you are still having mufflers on your ears. In a sense, you're hearing the words, but it's not penetrating into your soul. What you need to do is ask God by His Spirit to enable you to hear those words. Not just the words in terms of what they mean, but what they mean to you, to your soul. That they would come to you with real truth. Maybe you have to give up the impression you have of yourself of being a Christian. Maybe you have to come to the reality that you're not a Christian. Maybe you have to accept the truth that I am in this building, but I am not truly born again of the Spirit of God, and I'm living a lie. I'm pretending to be something that I'm not. And you need to reach out, and you just say to God, God, will you open my eyes to see? Will you give my ears a hearing? Will you open my mind and my heart that I might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? For many have been baptized. Many people have sat in churches. Many people have gone through the entirety of their lives and not experienced the cleansing power of God in their life. And you do not want to do that. You do not want to do that. For in the day of judgment, it's going to be terrible on you. For you have been a recipient of the truth. And if you retain the power of denying the way of God until the day that you die, God will bring His judgment upon you with such a measure that you will not be able to withstand anything of it, and you will be fearful for all eternity. And you need to come to God and need to plead with God for salvation. When it comes to baptism, it must be participated in with the power of the Word preached alongside it. Because it is the Word of God that is the means of God unto salvation and sanctification. And yet, baptism is a means of grace. Through the act of baptism, the child, the parents, and those who participated are blessed. Why are they blessed? They're blessed because they're seeing the sign. The sign of what? Cleansing from sin. They're seeing the sign of righteousness by faith. They're seeing the sign of forgiveness of sin. They're seeing the sign of union with Christ. They're seeing the sign of communion with Christ. That's what they're seeing. That's what we'll see. That's a means of grace. We're being reminded of the reality of the power of God to save. And we're being reminded that God, once He saves, seals in that person into a living relationship with Himself. That's why it's a means of grace. It's actually grace to us when we observe it, because of what it's reminding us of and what we're participating in. When we stand as a congregation and pray for, or put up our hands and say, we'll pray for the salvation of the child, we're entering into a glorious thing with God. We're saying, we're coming to you, God, Creator of heaven and earth, and we are going to commit to ask you to save this child. That's why we in this church pray for our children and their salvation. Yes, we're keeping the promise that we make before God on the day of their baptism. That's true. But we also want to see the reality of this in their lives, because it's a wonderful thing. It's a glorious thing, what we have, what God has given to us, this covenantal promise to us as parents and to our children and our children's children. And we want to own that. We want to own that in understanding, and we want to own that in prayer. And we want to live it out. So why do we baptize? We baptize because Christ instructs us. Does baptism lead to the salvation of the recipients? No. It is their salvation in Christ that will result in their salvation. Is it necessary for salvation? No, it emphatically is not. Why is it important? Because Christ has instituted, because it speaks to us of really, really, really important things. Cleansing from sin, forgiveness of sin, righteousness, communion, union with Christ. And because it's a means of grace. God mediates his grace to us, the recipients and the participants. We're reminded of who God is. We're reminded of his love for us. And we're reminded of his blessings for us. It's a wonderful thing that God has condescended to enter into promise with us and with our children, that he will be our God and he will be their God. Let's pray. Father, we pray and give you thanks that we can understand what this ordinance is. We thank you that we don't have to be ignorant of it. We thank you, Lord God, that we can know it and we can own it. And we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen.